Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world, and welcome to this session here on Wildcat Radio. My name is Suki, and tonight is December 16th, 2021. That means in 9 days, it will be Christmas. I hope you're ready. In 15 days, it will be the new year, 2022. And we have been wearing masks against COVID since April 30th of 2020. We are headed into our second year of fighting the COVID virus. Hope we're all staying protected. You have just listened to Billy Joel's Piano Man. I have put on the topic board some of the great things that inspired Billy Joel for that, especially when he worked for about 6 months in the executive room. He talked about the waitress and his fifth brother. He actually became his first wife. And from 1973 to 1982, he played under Joe Martin. And also talked about several things that he did during that song and things like that. But it was the first song and title track to Joe's breakthrough album, released by Columbia Records, and his first album released by Family Records in 1971. So, of course, one of my favorite songs, love Billy Joel, love what he does. One of my biggest pop stars when I was a young lady, many years ago. If you ever get a chance to go back and listen to Billy Joel, I think he's a classic. I got to see Billy Joel and Elton John in concert one time at Red Rocks in Colorado, which is one of the great theaters in our country. So, this is me, CP, on Kevin's lovely site, All Poetry, which you can find at allpoetry.com. Great site to be a part, world's largest poetry site out there. And just inside of that is Team of Voices. Team of Voices is a great group to celebrate your writing, talk about it, have fun with it. We are a non-judgmental group that just kick back, have fun, and chit-chat about our poetry. Tonight is open poetry. Come on, sit by the fire, enjoy yourself, no hassle, no mess, no problem. We're just going to talk about the poetry you want to talk about. So, my studio is filling up, and I have Rack and Tour with me. Hello, Rack. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm always good when you're around. How you doing?
I'm doing well tonight. Much better than I did the other night. It's a little foggy in the throat there. And then, of course, I have 614. And how are they tonight? Because I know I'm supposed to, you know, just rip off their names, but I'm going to make people start in the speaking inside.
Hello, sweet. How are you?
Hello, AP. I'm good. How are you?
Well, thank you.
So how's Australia? How's the heat?
It's going well, but I have done some research for you, sweet. I have a story for you that I thought you might like.
I'm very excited. Does it involve snakes?
Sorry? No.
Does it involve
it doesn't involve any snakes, but it involves cows.
Okay.
It involves cows. Do you want to hear my story?
Absolutely. Can I get everybody else on the line first?
Stop me if I heard this one.
Okay.
No, you haven't heard this one.
Okay. Okay. My illustrious theater, 856, say hello and say hello to the crowd. I know who you are.
Hello.
Beverly.
Hello, Deb.
Hi, Deb.
How are you? It's Deb. This is
hanging in there. How are you?
And then, of course, this is someone who lives in Wonderland. Say hello.
Hello. I consider myself a lucky man. Face the earth.
It's wonderful day. Hatter. Ah. And these are the people that I love and work with, and they're just amazing. This is the board of Team of Voices. Boy, we have things rocking on right here at Team of Voices. Okay, let's hear the cow story from AP.
The cow story. You ready for the cow story? Here we go. It's a cow story, and it's Australian, and it involves poetry. How's that? And the story goes that Australia has only ever had one official poet laureate. That's called Michael Max Robbins. The
okay, I'm breaking
the end of
Australia. Break it up.
In, In 1817 and 1818. Oh, I might have to call back. Do you want me to call back?
Yes, please. If you can't understand,
okay, let me call back.
Can't hear about the cat. All right. I will let you know my poor Remington had himself clipped today, so he's not feeling well. Poor little Remy.
Aw.
Yeah. Poor little Remington. It is what it is.
I think
okay,
he needs a shot.
It.
I'm going to try again, Swift.
All right.
Is that better?
Yeah. Much better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Ready. Here we go. So this involves poetry and cows. And that's an important combination, Swift, up front. Australia has only ever had one official poet laureate. And that was in 1817 to 1818. This was a guy called Michael Massey Robinson. And in the great tradition of Australia and the arts, he was bloody awful. His poetry was dreadful. I've read five or six of them, and that's as much as I can get through. He was a traditional AABB rhymer, and he was bloody awful. He actually came to Australia as a person who had created, who was a fraudster, and he got to Australia, and then God knows he did it again. And so he got sent to Norfolk Island on a bloody boat, and only the worst got sent to Norfolk Island. He finally got back to Sydney and got into the good books of the governor at the time and sort of insinuated himself in to become the Australian Poet Laureate for 2 years. Now, probably this explains why Australia has not had a Poet Laureate since. Because he was so bloody awful at what he did. So he did it for two years.
Hi.
And then when the new governor came in, the first thing he did was he sacked him. He said, you're no bloody good. And then as the ex-poet laureate, he continued writing poetry about what a nasty person the new governor was. Anyway, This doesn't get to the reason that I got to about cows. Because he did not get paid. Michael Massey Ferguson. Michael Massey Robinson did not get paid to be the poet laureate. In 1819, he got given two cows for being the poet laureate from the government herd. That's what he got for being a poet laureate. He got given two cows. Now you might say,
government.
What were the government doing with cows? Yeah, what were the government doing with cows? Yeah, and the truth of the matter is that they had about 6,000 of them, which wasn't a bad effort, considering they started with seven. And
all right.
The seven of them, there was a convict who was allocated to look after the seven cows. And they got kept for 6 months, and they went missing. And they moseyed off. And they were found 7 years later, 50 miles away, but there were hundreds of the buggers.
Wow.
The cows went and looked after themselves, which is quite nice, really. But two of them got given to the Poet Laureate of Australia, the only ever Poet Laureate of Australia, because, unfortunately, Michael Massey Robinson was a very ordinary poet. That's my story.
Oh.
Australian.
Okay, this is a typical Australian story because, first off, I love the numbers. I'm going to go by the numbers. The Port of Poet Laureate, first off, was there for only 2 years. And there's what year was looking at again? I want to 18 what?
18, sorry, what?
The years. The year.
1817 and 1818. A few years ago, Sweet.
1817 and 1819. Okay, so
1818.
1817. I have a prisoner that had seven cows. I've got 18, 17, seven cows disappeared for 7 years.
Yes.
So I've got three sevens in this mix. Okay?
Yes, there's lots of seven. Yes.
Bunch of sevens, so that's cool. So I'm playing cards right now, so I've got three sevens. That's great. I'm just saying, this is the numbers in there are just amazing.
Okay.
The cows just are racking it up. So the government ends up with 6,000 cows from a convict that couldn't do crap except multiply cows. So what did the convict get?
That's right.
Because he really is the one who made the government very rich, because 6,000 heads of cattle. Now that's something to be impressed by.
No, I know. I'm with you all the way. That's exactly. I mean, the best thing that could have happened was that the cows wandered off to the Nepean River, and you know, he probably got hung for it. But you know, such is life.
I know. But yeah, I just love the 777s and all of this. And the dumbass poet got the two cows that the convict lost for 7 years.
He got two cows. Black Kate.
Well,
cows.
I'm hoping my poetry is enough for at least more than two cows. But I love this story.
Maybe. But I just like the story. Australian poet laureate cows, all that stuff.
What else are you going to get as an Australian poet laureate in the 17th or 18th? There you go. Here's some cows. By the way, they're convict cows. And that ran away from prison, so you're not as good as that.
Decent cows. Pretty solid.
Now the government only gets you cheese.
Well, that's right.
No,
now you only get cheese. Back then you got an entire cow.
Exactly right.
I'm just saying. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my world. Hello, Wayne.
Cool story,
April. Tornadoes are doing well.
Thank you very much,
Rick. I
thought you'd like it.
I do. I love it. Wayne is still, I think, out in his,
town.
Yeah, his town. I don't know if he's got internet or anything like that. He may just have his phone. But we love you, Wayne. Hope everything is sweet.
We do. The tornado. I heard the tornado took out a fiber line, and I heard, I think, for about 20 deaths.
He had a rough time in his town. What does Havro scribbling mean on the board? He's shorthanding you. Oh, green room.
No idea.
About it. I think it means green room. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, green room. I didn't know green room on my show.
Does it mean creamer?
No.
Yeah, Havro, green room.
It's green room, but, we can all jump in and listen. Three of us are.
We could if you want.
I know. Let's just go in. That would be good. Let's all go in, but they're bad. So, let's start this party. Let's start the party. I like starting
let's
parties.
Let's get this party started.
Let's get this party started. I don't know who O1 is. We'll call. So, RF, Titus. Shall we roll the dice? I don't know who to start with. Well, why don't we start with AP? He had a great story, so we'll just go with him. I like it.
Okay. I found out all that research after I wrote this poem, so I didn't write about the Australian poet laureate. But earlier in the week, there was a story that I did for Deb, which was about a bunch of raindrops that went to the river, yeah? And so, obviously, if they went to the river, they have to get back. So this is return to the valleys, sort of goes from one end to the next, really. And it goes a little bit like this. waters upon current seem hustle within bubble as approach a steel sea, a delta far past reeds. Angle across steep waves grows soon to double, a throne into the air where the sun intercedes. Curves a rainbow with the cadence of rays beam, hues deepen as it feasts on a morning's fresh dew. It captures escapees securely within scheme, they are elevated to within clouds, forming anew. Minions the drops tussle in their temporary home at first airy appears a snowdrift pale as is white. Yet this place becomes crowded as fills into dome, storm cloud darkens as crosses mountain's height. Then there are pyrotechnics and noise throughout as rains swell and then forcefully plat as they fall. The drops are back at their origin high and hills about, floating as snowflakes onto a tree in valley sprawl. End poem.
Wow, this is gorgeous. I like pyrotechnics. I like that word. I'm impressed you used it in a poem. But it just brings like the whole fireworks to my head, pyrotechnics. I like that. And I also like curves of a rainbow with the cadence of ray beam. The cadence. Cadence in a rainbow. I just, it brings a whole different mindset of a rainbow, just like the red, the orange, the blue, just the cadence. I like that. There's some different ways you just kind of made me look at different things different. Sun intercedes. Thrown into the air where the sun intercedes. You just got some fabulous imagery in here that just kind of throws things off. Or you just kind of look at things differently, but I really like the way you did that. Beautiful. Absolutely stunning. Well, Deb, since the poem to you, or from you, go ahead and throw what you're going to throw at him.
Yeah, I think that this is really gorgeous from the very first line. First line, waters upon currency hustle. Within bubble, as approach a steel sea, a delta, fast par reed. But I was struck too by in stanza two, line two, the hue deepens as it feasts on a morning's fresh dew, like a dew gravy rather than dew, which I thought was pretty interesting. And our millions of drops tussle in their temporary home. Little glimpses, I think, and storm clouds darken as crosses mountains' height. But that last stanza, the pyrotechnics is really cool. But the last stanza entirely, then there are pyrotechnics and noise throughout as rains swell and then forcefully platters they fall. The drops are back at their origin, high in the hills, about floating as snowflakes into a tree in valley sprawl. So we took the journey all the way back to where those droplets gather or sprinkle, sparkle, spread in a valley sprawl. So I actually think that this one, I like the last one, but I think this one's even more beautiful. And I like that the bubbles are in this one as well. I believe there was some anointments and some joy bubbles in the first one, and I like to see that they start out there and keep going. So that's really cool.
And I'm going to welcome Mr. Wayne to the group. Hello, Wayne.
How you doing tonight?
Oh,
man. Hey, Wayne. Good to hear you,
bro. I'm living in the dark ages. I can't have any broadband. I'm just doing dial-up right now. I'm having a hard time watching everything, but we had that broadband back in another day or two, so it's kind of interesting. But it's great poem there, AP. I enjoyed your read. Had perfect balance and great rhyme. Enjoyed all the way through. Great job there, man.
Thank you very much, Ryan. Thank you.
And Dad, your thoughts? Oh, I just had your thoughts. I'm sorry.
Your thoughts.
Yes, you did. They were so beautiful. I just wanted to hear them again. I'm Rack, your thoughts.
Count on that echo. I really enjoy this. It's like a science lesson, really. It brought me back to school. There's a name for the thing, the way that you're describing, the way that the repeated cycle of the water. It makes me think of questioning when you were little, you stick your tongue out to catch the raindrops, and my mother would be yelling at me like, "That's dirty." I'd be like, "How can it be dirty? It's falling from the sky." But it's one of those things where it's just really interesting the way the not circular. There's something that it's attached. The way each step is kind of attached to itself, and it forms that ecosystem that's almost self-contained. One minute it's on the water's on the ground, and then it evaporates, and it's in the clouds, and then it's coming back down as the snowflakes. I mean, there's a completeness to it that's just very beautiful, and of course the language that you use to describe it absolutely bolsters that feeling. It's just...
And Hatter, if you want to give me a comment, and then you are on the board to read that one.
Yeah, classic AP old school structure through that just nailed it. I like the beginning. Waters upon current, seen hustle within bubble as approach to steel sea. Nicely done, AP.
Thank you. Thanks, Hatter.
And I went trolling through my vault.
Mm-hmm.
I got to do a sign to do it. There it is.
You gotta
I just
flood
put
the
it
vault.
On there because I needed a place to put it. Yeah. Okay. Begging me to let go. Goes like this. I was there when it was first picked, the stories of green and the fruit from sticks. In the hands of those that have no eyes, painting by numbers as time rushes by, whispers of things that are sure to come, twisted in mirrors so there's more than one, running down legends and long ancient tales, feeding green apples to blue ocean whales, watching for faces in odd normal places the wind has lost their change, falling through clouds, warning the crowds that gathering to pick up the rain. I wonder if true that read me and you. There is no one here that I know. Strangers to me writing form poetry begging me to let go. Palindromes are evil.
I love that last line. Palindromes are evil. Absolutely. Palindromes are evil. I love, begging me to let go, but I love the first line, or actually the first stanza and second stanza. First picks the stories of green and the fruit from sticks in the hands of those that have no eyes, painting by numbers as time rushes by. I the way you write. It's just something about how you present things that makes me tilt my head like my dogs and go, huh? Wow, what should I be learning? What should I be learning? What does this mean? What should I be engaging in? What is this saying? What is there? The roof has lost its change. Wonder if it's true that read me and if there's something there. Strangers to me writing some poetry, begging me to let go. What do you want me to let go? Don't let go of anything. I want you to keep writing, don't let go. And you just always capture me. And that's all there is. You capture me. And another great night to be great at it. Wayne, your thoughts?
You had to go.
Oh, I'm sorry, Wayne. Then, back and forth, your thoughts?
After the rain poem, I can't even talk about the flow without chuckling. But I love the way you put your words together, Hatter. It's not that it's sing song. It's just, I don't know, whimsical in a way that the lies, the undertones of what you tend to write about. And you know, it sounds, you know, lighthearted on the surface, but, you know, you dig into some of the things that you talk about, you know, like, you know, when people, you know, you talk about writing and then they're saying, you know, let go, that's a really deep subject. That's not something that you could just kind of chuckle away with a little rhyme about apples and whales. So, you know, it's really deep. You know, and I like that about the way that you write. It's really cool.
Thank you, Mac.
I'm going to give a rhyming comment, if that's okay, Sweet, and that is that whales of blue from Legends of Tales, free story picked off tree off picked, story free, tales of legends of blue of whales. And comment.
Oh, you're handsome.
Thank you, Avery.
And Deb.
Who started
yeah,
off?
Before I say, I was just going to do you see these two guys? It's like they both show up here with this rhyme and cadence, and is it a wonder that I keep trying to do a little bit of that, surrounded by those, and how to, like,
they got
I wrote
nothing
this
on you.
Huh? It's rubbing off?
They got nothing on you.
But the title, Begging Me to Let Go, it was just like, damn, just the title itself is really emotional. And this couplet, falling through clouds, warming the crowds that gathered to pick up the rain. Yeah, I sometimes I just can't believe how lyrically amazing your cadence is, Hatter, and it's just, and the little couplets, you look at the page and you think, because it's jumbled, I guess, because I try to get past my obsession at keeping it more uniform looking. And so I look at it and I'm thinking, but no matter what it looks like on the page, the rhyme scheme and stuff is always amazing. And again, hanging out with you guys, I got to push the envelope a little.
Okay. Thank you, Doug. Yeah, I really like going to an A-B start, a couple lines, then breaking into the inner rhyme.
Mm-hmm.
And then most of the time I'll try to break out of it before I ended it. I don't think I did here. Yeah, I think I did. No, I didn't. I stayed in it. It's a thing that I hear. Why I do that, I don't know. It seems like Rack said, it seems sing-songy to me. It seems musical.
It sits well.
Yeah, but it's kind of your trademark. So, like, I wasn't trying to get you to change it. I was just saying that it's like one of those.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of the word, but it's one of those things you can count on. that particular pattern that's on repeat. And you just change the word, and it's very lyrical every single time.
Yeah, I do try to make it to where it's easily read by whoever reads it. It's always in my head.
There you go.
That's because he's been spoiled for years making other people read for him all the time.
Yeah. I do like that. Could you read that for me?
My eyes aren't working tonight, AP. Can you read that? Yeah, we bought those ones.
Yeah. You Boston.
Yeah. Boston, can you? Yeah, I was going to say the same. Boston, can you read for me?
You got no eyes. So legitimate. If I can't read it, it's legitimate.
That's right. You're always legitimate.
Yeah.
Always.
It's your story and you're sticking to it.
So for me, I see the writing epic tales, I've been writing a lot of brevity, which I don't know why, because I'm not a brevity writer. But maybe that's the me. I wrote an AB rhyme the other this morning, but I only got to hear it. But I wrote another brevity today. So here it goes. Everybody's ready.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Adam. Because you deserve every ounce of gratitude that we can give you. You're one of the best out
there. Those your pictures? Yeah. Are those your pictures, Deb?
I'm sorry. Were those
some of your pictures? I can't remember. The reason I wrote it.
On the poem that you just read?
Yes. Okay, I guess I could have said that.
No, I had just switched to sweet poem. Wait a minute, I'm looking real quick.
Oh, that's all right. Okay, no big deal. No big deal. I'm just curious.
Yes. Sorry, sweet.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Yeah, sorry, sweet.
No big deal, guys. I'm good with it. Like I said, we're here, no fuss, no muss. Whatever we're good. Were they your pictures? Now I have to know.
She said
in
yes.
His poem, yes. Yes, they were.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you. I didn't know. Okay.
And this is Sweet's award-winning poem, so I can't wait to hear her read it. I had to read it myself the first time.
What? How many books? I wrote this 2 hours ago. This is
oh,
the one
I thought
playing.
It was. I saw the photo and I thought.
No, this is different from the one I read this morning. Yeah.
Deb, say something in the chat. Deb, just say something in the chat.
Okay.
Deb. Carry
all right,
on.
Coloring book. All right, am I ready? Yeah, can I do that now? I'm waiting for your approval. All right, coloring book. One more time, I'll say the title. Lawns in shade of green, clouds colored white, yellow-haired girls with pigtails, blue eyes shining bright, bricks outlined in black and colored in with red, a dog always the brown form, and the house the color of my knees. No marks outside the lines, controlled was expected. The refrigerator space was reserved for excellence. Seed planet for real perfection and time.
Well, I was hearing rhyme in there, sweet. Kids,
the
cool coloring. I like your descriptions of the coloring skills and the dog. Always the brown crayon.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, and like if you were coloring yourself, you would use like the apricot crayon for your hands. And I like that there was little yellow-haired girl with pigtails. So this is really, really cute. And seeds planted for a three-old perfectionist. Very, very cool. And, like, am I crazy, or did you a moment ago have the maiden on the board? Or
did
I click on it?
I got rid of it.
Oh, okay, because I was like, what the hell? I clicked on it, and then you said, no, not that one. And I'm like, well, where'd I find that? Okay, just so that I know I'm still a little bit sane. But really fun brevity. And let me see, how about Raconteur? Will you comment for sweet?
You know, this for some reason makes me think of one of those drawings that a kid brings home from school that you put on the refrigerator. It's just got that welcoming feel to it. The world around me, I see myself, I see the dog. It's that idyllic little picture that you kind of want to run away and escape to. You know, and there's something to be said for that feeling of looking at the world through those innocent eyes. That, you know, inadvertently becomes so jaded and cynical as you get older. Because, you know, you can't get those days back. And you don't know it when you're in the middle of it. You know, you don't appreciate it until it's gone. And it kind of reminds me of all that wrapped up together in that moment of happiness that is still kind of there on the fringes of your life as a memory. And it's not that we're striving to get it back. It's that, you know, we just miss not knowing what we had. Beautiful.
What a fabulous comment. AP?
Well, I was sort of going to go into the psychology of, you know, what was coloured and what wasn't coloured the most, like flowers coloured more than the owl, which is coloured more than the robot and the star. But I sort of thought the more interesting thing about this was that, it, you know, something that is in our lifetime has become something that's actually really kind of cool. I look at that sort of page, I think that's really funky and cool. It reminds me that I was down at the Trash and Treasure Market last week, and I actually saw the folder that was used for me to get my first job and included all the stuff of my company that I was going to have, and it was there as for sale as a secondhand object, an antique. And I thought to myself, I am getting old, in common.
Oh, I'm sorry. And great comment. And Hatter, please.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The, oh, shoot. The outside the lines, right?
Mm-hmm. Outside the lines.
Okay. Yeah, this is well done. It reminds me of one of the best poems I've ever read. It was by Cheryl, and it was about the story she told about her dad not knowing why she couldn't stay in the lines, and then it's a very moving piece. This really brought it back. It's same storyline. I like the refrigerator space was reserved for excellence. Seeds planted for a 3-year-old perfectionist. Nicely done.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Back to you, doll.
All right. We are going to put up a view. That is... Or maybe.
That first button.
Wait a minute. That's where I'm going wrong. I'm like, wait a minute. I went down. You put that. Okay, never mind. I lost me. I'm like, wait, this doesn't look like my board. That's because it wasn't. It was yours. Oh. Now I got to fight you, Deb.
Okay. What are you doing on her board?
I don't know what I'm doing on her board. Deb, I can't find your phone. Oh, there you are. I'm sorry. I lost you for a minute.
Check
on
the front
board.
Page.
Yeah. It might be up there. I've got a couple of those up there. There you go. Nope, that's not it at all. Yeah, it is. There you go, Deb. Okay. Is that you? Deb, are you around? Deb?
Hello, Deb.
I think she got washed out with the tide.
Oh, she's here. I see her.
Deborah Lee.
Hello, Deb.
Yes.
You're on the board.
I know, hon. I said it's the first button in the studio. I got
it. I heard you say first button, but I didn't. Okay, never mind. I got it.
Cool.
There you go.
I was his beloved dress mannequin by Deborah Lee. Handsome torpedo speaks in rapid fire missile. Navigational equipment box in SOS mode. My head spins me 6,000 nautical miles off course, speeding at 233 knots an hour, capsized, deserted like a shipwrecked cruise line, crashed near a tropic island of contentment but snagged in one space by a heavy steel anchor, left, bouncing to and fro like a displayed buoy bobbing in prison, solitary confinement made of turning tides, rippling ebb and flow. Clouded horizon swallows bright blue panorama when stormy devastation surges through a dark sky. Trail stench stinking up the air, mixed with pungent, sweet chloroform aroma. The murder triggers sick and gut-wrenching gags. As murder circles on its way to greet death, they fly past battleship gray storm clouds, swirling on cool whirlwinds of destructive grief. Soaring winds flap long raven ponytails around. Teardrops roll down frowned lips painted scarlet. Projectile acid rain stings wide open blue eyes and kisses dressed mannequins' bare plastic skin, melting it like dripping red-hot candle wax, exposing bare bones until hollowness shows. Storm gates open and red-hot ache floods my brain. Sinking as salted seawater rises to cover dry land, a cold whirlpool battles to suck me down and drown me. Flashes in tune to thunder's rumbled boom. It's nature. Clapping a 21-gun salute. Is this final curtain call mine?
Hell no.
Wow, this is dark and delicious and wow. As murder circles on its way to greet death, as bypass battleship gray storm clouds swirling on cool whirlwinds of destructive grief. That is awesome. Smell the black trail of scent sticking up the air. Oh, and then of course the one and only you could have said it over and over again. Display buoyant voice. Bobby, yeah, I can't even go through that sentence. Oh, fabulous, Beverly. This is just fabulous. Oh, but I got to tell you, when I first read I Was His Beloved Dressed Mannequin with a Voice Recording, I actually thought that was your title because that's how you run titles. This is brilliant. Wonderful. Just great. Deliciously dark. And, oh, I really, really like this. This is beautiful, dark, delicious. I can't say that again. But let's go to AP. Your thoughts.
Thank you, sweet.
Well, I think the first thing to say is it is beautifully dark, and the second thing to say is that it's written in long form, for want of a better word. A lot of poetry these days sort of finds its way to eight syllables and then decides to go to the next line and sort of avoids getting towards eight syllables again because it sort of feels like it's too much. So for me, this is sort of like real poetry. You know, this is where we started and where we should finish with real sentences that have real meaning in nice, real, long form. Thanks, Deb.
Thank you so much.
And Hatter.
Yes. I like how the one of the good terms in our generation that we don't hear much about was acid rain. I mean, how many times in the 70s did we hear that term? Projectile acid rain stings wide open blue eyes, kisses dressed mannequins, bared plastic skin melted into dripping red hot candle wax, exposing bare bones till hollowness shows. Ow! Drip candle wax. Yeah, very passionate. And what's the, in the AM, it was hell no, there are plenty of fish in the sea, and I'm getting a better hook and cast it off. Time to go fishing. Is that the prompt?
Nope. The mood.
Oh. The mood. Okay. Beautiful. Handsome torpedo. A handsome torpedo. Yeah.
And well, I can tell you about it.
Yeah, I can't help but say stormy relationship. I mean, wow. I love all the metaphors throughout. The whole thing, you know, smacks of the turmoil of kind of being in the middle of that that mood that you said you described. You know, he didn't have to say anything about, you know, casting anything off or anything like that. I got that feeling very clearly from what you wrote. The way you tied it together and then wind up, you know, pondering if it's your final curtain call, you know, just for me accentuates the whole the seriousness of what you kind of went through and you know the way it feels like, you know, how exhausting and you know how much it took out of you to get to where you are, and it feels like, you know, it could very well be, you know, the end, because you're at the point where you almost want to give up. But you know, at the same time, it's like, well, I don't know. There's still a little bit of hope, I think, in the way that you wrote it. I thought it was beautiful.
Thank you, Rick.
All right. Mm-hmm. So back, you have a poem up. And AP, are you around enough to read this for me?
I can read this if we don't have a sound card. Yeah, for sure.
I don't see a sound card for this.
Okay. Well, with that being the case, I'm very happy to read. This is Fool by Raconteur, and it goes a little bit like this. I'm an idiot. Living an empty life, writing in verse about my heartbreak and strife. If one more person tells me I'm special or hope you find what you're looking for, I'll probably puke before slamming the door. Platitudes don't sustain me. Grieving is pointless because I honestly tried. If I'm lucky, I'll drown in the tears that I've cried. For the briefest of moments, we had a good time. I was a fool to believe your heart could ever be mine. Look me up, lest I try again. My reach exceeds my grasp, and Cupid's a comedian. End poem.
Well, that is cool. What an amazing night, as usual. But you're no fool. Because if I'm lucky, I'll drown tears that I've cried. I love the Hurt Locker, but I don't like the Hurt Locker at all because it makes me hurt. It does. It just makes me hurt every time you read something for it, I hear something from it. Oh, my God, it just makes me hurt. Platitudes don't sustain me. And then let's go to the next one. Let's grab my hand and let's climb that. Let's see what we ever have to do. Ladders, ropes, I don't care, whatever we do. If crazy people can go to the freaking top of whatever mountains or Mount Everest, Mount Kilimanjaro, I don't care. Let's just go to the next place. AP, you read it, your thoughts?
I did read it. It's got a it speaks to having been listening and hearing to others and it speaks to those people not quite actually getting where you're up to, and platitudes are quite awful, I hope you find what you're looking for, because if it's in a U2 song, then it's probably not worth wondering what we were using that in the first place for. So I just think what Rack gives here is this sense of sort of victory over the pale defeat of worn comments. End comment.
Thanks, AP.
And Beverly.
Yeah, I too agree that the locker is definitely named correctly. And that second stanza seems to be standing out to everyone. If one more person tells me I'm special or hope you find what you're looking for, I'll probably puke. And I would have added a little before slamming the door, in their ass. But yeah, I think that this is an extremely powerful brevity, and you have to give it the "and Cupid's a comedian." There's an ending for you.
Thanks, Tim.
Oh. Where did I go next?
I'll always care for you.
Patter, your thoughts, please.
Yeah.
Where I go next?
You forgot. I'll always care about you.
Oh, yeah. For the platitude.
Yeah. I'm always care about
with
you.
Me.
Yeah, it says it all. It is. You do feel like a fool. A lot of times you feel like you're the last one to know. Why was that?
Yeah.
Sometimes you are.
Is it denial, or is it that you just don't see it? It's got to be denial. A little of both, maybe.
Yeah, denial's a river. Cry me one.
Denial's a river in Egypt.
Ah, that's good. See a path that's put it there with all her money. All right, I am going to read Wayne Jett. I put him off for two weeks now, so I'm going to read him now. This is gold medal winner. Maybe I shouldn't read. That's blah, blah, blah. Wayne, I hope I do you justice, sir. All right. Stroll down Birdie Beach. Eggshell stroll down the titanium beach. Tumbleweed footprints left by east. Shiny slate reflections of magnesium sand. Marshmallow waves invading the ceiling. These shall salt my better in heaven. Look at the birdies. I counted 11. Cool cappuccino day. Birding on by. One of the birdies said, "Hey, I can fly." Dolphins day planning on flattened sun. May look like fried chicken when they're done. I eat oysters. Eat the most. Family of feathers headed down the coast. Oh, Wayne, you crack me up so much. This is why I just adore you. You just make me giggle and giggle and giggle. This is hilarious. It's funny. I love, look at the birdies. I counted 11. Hey, I can fly. Oh, and this is why you make me giggle. great, right, fun. Back and tour, your thoughts?
I'm in the mood for fried chicken now. He always makes me chuckle. You know, even when he tends to be serious, only because, you know, you're waiting for the other shoe to drop, and I chuckle. That he's able to evoke that, you know, he'll write and you know, you never know what direction he's coming from, and he can still be serious and he could still be cute, you know, even when he's not trying to be cute, because you know you're kind of expecting it from him. So even when he's not, he is. But in this case, you know, this was clever. It was, you know, it made me think of birds. It's Wayne's way of giving us all the bird, huh?
The bird.
Great poem, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And Deb.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this one in the contest. What I wrote was, this is cool and clever, and it made me giggle, especially loving the visuals here. May look like fried chicken when they're done. It just cracked me up for some reason, and I thought that he took the words and the photo and put in stuff like the cool Cappuccino Day floating on by. One of the birdies said, hey, I can fly. It was just a little silly pick-me-up on the beach. So he won the gold.
And Potter.
You know, it's been mentioned, I mentioned it twice, and somebody did the other night. Wayne, his poetry has gotten so much deeper and full. Yeah. Really good.
11 Herbs and Spices.
And this is, of course, this has a word bank also, right? Sort of see some of the words.
I'm fairly sure, yeah.
And he's very good at that. You really have to look to see if there is one. I do word bank. I do all 7 words in one line.
Get them over with. Yeah, I know you do.
Yeah.
Still work better.
So many to pick from. Deb, can I have you be Hold me for me?
Absolutely.
Hold me for me. Oh. Hold me.
Okay. This is Side by Side. My heavenly angel. My granddaddy left me a little patch of land out on a tree-lined country road. Blue bonnets grow wild, apple trees around, and in the back, a crystal clear creek flows. Such quiet solitude. No words need be spoken. We just sit together side by side. There's nothing in this world that compares to sitting with my baby knowing that he loves me as I love him. End poem.
There's powerful love in him. Thank you.
Forever, my darling. No matter.
Go ahead, Hatter.
Heartfelt. Just completely, the way she writes is just always heartfelt. You know, you promise somebody you want them to grow old with you and all the little things that go with it. And the clear creek flowing in the back, great visual. Sitting with my baby. Wow. Nicely done. Hallmark. And comment.
And God, look out.
Well, first of all, just the thought of her getting to sit there with the one she loves in the same spot where Granddaddy and I would assume Grandma sat all their life, and her getting to spend hers there. So that circle right there is very enchanting. And then, as I put in my comment, it was beautiful and romantic, and she had packed just so much tenderness into only a fistful of words. So, and it's a double award-winning brevity. So congrats to Angel, and always an honor to be your reader.
Yeah.
It's like everyone says. I mean, you know, who wouldn't want to sit next to the creek or anywhere really with the person that, you know, loves you back? That to me is says more than anything. You know, it's easy to sell someone you love you. That you know I love you. It's when you hear it back that makes it meaningful, because you know otherwise it turns into that whole unrequited, you know, mooning, something's wrong thing. But this is like, you know, the symmetry, the symbiosis of it that she's talking about, you know, it's not, you know, it's idyllic. It's just, you know, Hallmark, like you said.
Beautiful comment. All right. I have Naomi up, and when everyone's ready, let me know, and I will hit her sound call. All right. Here we go. Here's Naomi.
Just pissed. Every time I feel you say, your mind is playing tricks on you, my dear. You are sending my brain raging into a curled over spasmodic contracting cramp again. Just by the nonchalant way you stand there, staring out the friggin' window, talking about how beautiful the lawn is coming along again, and that you're really satisfied with the fence you built, and how you have to hurry because you'll be late for work again, humming your way outside as I'm screaming into my bloody insides. I watch as you open the car door with an easy tug, and I slam the darn curtain shut. Hell, I wore my tiger stripe negligee last night. You kissed my forehead, turned over, and snored. I made you breakfast with eggs, done just like you love them. You ate it all up and then burped it all out. I know the name of each one of your coworkers. Know your job inside out. And you, do you even know what I did yesterday? Do you know how I love to write and paint? I don't think so, because you never darn ask. Oh, how I crisp up into a hard iron spike ball, just wanting to smash it straight between your serene eyes, kick the cool mellowness right out of your smile every time I try to talk. And you always pat my hand and say, oh, don't worry so much, baby. You fret way too much about nothing. Aren't we doing just fine? No.
Oh, my God. I love you. Oh, God, this poem is fabulous. This is the ultimate, yes, dear, okay, totally ignoring what's in front of them, and you just keep doing it. You just do it, and you do it until you can't do it anymore. I think this is just stunning and beautiful, and just, I don't know how some people just don't get it, and other people
yeah.
do. You know, it just kind of amazes me sometimes how it just, I just think this is truth in poetry, and I think she did a fabulous job. I mean, I know it's humorous and it's funny, and I think she did it just perfectly. She kind of reminds me of, I can't remember who it is. Judy Blume, I think is the author. That used to write like this, and make fun of, you know, house, being a housewife and being all these things, and I think she does a beautiful job at it. And I really think that it's the author, if I remember off the top of my head. Just gorgeous at it. Way to go, Naomi. Deb, your thoughts?
I love the end. No. Says it all. But I'd like, just by the nonchalant way you stand there staring out the friggin' window, talking about how beautiful the lawn is coming along, and then really satisfied with the fence you built. And now you have to hurry because you'll be late for work again. It's just like the little bits of humor and sarcasm were really cool. And her voice and the way she throws it around for it. It's also really cool. I made your breakfast with eggs just the way you like them. You ate it all, and then you burped it all out. And I'm thinking, you know, bet you he didn't say thank you, though. So it's just really, really cool here. But, again, I love the end. No.
Yeah. And Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah, I love the way Naomi reads. She reads her pieces. Yeah, you've got to. The comment I left was, you have to be able to recognize when your other half is in need of something. You just have to.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. And back and forth.
Yeah, if you saw Judy Blume, I saw a little Irma Bombeck in that. I enjoyed it
that's
a lot.
That's who I was thinking
of,
Irma Bombeck. No, you were right. That's who I was thinking of, Irma Bombeck. Thank you.
The way that she, you know, illustrates the observations were just perfect for me. And, you know, the thing that hits home more than anything is the line where she's talking about, you know, something that bothers her. And, you know, in my world, it's like it's not, you know, exactly what it is. It's the fact that it bothers you that makes it worthy of discussion. I don't have to see, you know, any of it. You know, it's like because it bothers you, it should matter. That should be enough. And you know, that's the type of little thing that kind of snowballs into these crazy issues that a lot of people argue about, you know. It's like you're focusing on the wrong thing. You're hearing me say something's bothering me, and rather than talking about, you know, how to, what or anyway, it's psychology. Anyway, I enjoyed it very much, Naomi.
Yeah.
Didn't she wear her tiger stripe negligee? You didn't.
Yep, she did.
Steve Reichwein.
He put the cat out.
All right. So, let us go here to Mr. Phil the Poet.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet.
Yes, it was.
Everybody ready?
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called The Artist's Coffee Den. The aroma of coffee mixes with the smell of patchouli oil while a stoned out hippie plays bongos in the corner. A poet pours out his heart to an audience that doesn't care, sipping their espressos and smoking rolled-up cigarettes. Two artists discussing modern art over an Americano stained paper with two spoons of cubism and a slice of surrealism. Artwork on the walls painted by impoverished artists going for £10 to buy food, cigarettes, coffee, and a bit of inspiration. A coffee house called The Den is where I hung out, just watching the characters pretending to be a Van Gogh or a modern-day Rimbaud. Posters on the wall advertising the latest band to play on Fridays. Today, it's the Dharma Bums. Next week, it's the Stooges-inspired My Fake Joy. But nowadays, they've knocked the den down to be replaced by a shopping mall with no respect for poets or artists anymore. But still, you can smell the aroma of coffee with a hint of patchouli oil in between the walls. End poem.
Wow. I really like this. Oh, I really do. Nowadays, they've knocked the den down. and criticize shopping malls with no respect for poets or artists anymore. Ah, isn't that true? It's still very true that nothing is respected and there's just nothing comes down, but a poet pours out his heart to an audience that doesn't care. There's not very many places poets can go just to spit out what they want. But, you know, we do it anyway. We'll spit where we want to spit and say what we want to say. It's beautiful. Ah, what can you say? But it is. Love and art always go together. Late night coffee and crazy poets will speak till midnight and sleep till noon. I really like this, Bill. This is great. Rakentor, your thoughts?
Yeah, for me, it conjured up images of Andy Warhol for some reason. I think of the coffee houses and that type of art, and even a little Hemingway. But anyway, that was kind of ancillary to what he was talking about. You know, the whole thing, the jabs at the artistry. I really appreciated the references. He even mentioned a couple of the specific styles, cubism and I forget the other one he said, but you know, it was really a beautiful way of bringing out that thought. I thought the whole thing was great. I managed to avoid patchouli oil in my life, but you know, just the mention of that word makes me think of hippies. So you know, he did a great job with all the little triggers that evoke those kinds of feelings and thoughts, and bringing them all together. I really enjoy the way he writes. This is beautiful.
Yeah,
where's the patchouli oil?
It's a flowery smelling that you will never forget. Stink.
But Allen Ginsberg used to hang out in Denver, so there's a whole lot of like little bars and stuff that still kind of celebrate him. And so did Alberto D'Algo, and I can't even say his name right, but he also hung out, and so did Sylvia Plath. So they all used to like be this little place here in Denver they used to hang out. So we have this real weird group of hippies that like to hang out here in Colorado, and it's all honor of these very socialistic poets in the 60s and 70s. So it's always fun to go and hang out with that area. So I like when he talks about it, because it does remind me of that, you know, the Ginsberg Trail and all of them. I find that very, very, very fun in this poem. And Deb, your thoughts?
I really love to listen to Phil read his poetry. There's something in the way he pronounces words that's really, it draws me in. The poet pours out his heart to an audience that doesn't care, sipping their expressions and smoking rolled up cigarettes. I got a giggle out of that. Artwork on the walls painted by improvised artists going for £10 to buy food, cigarettes, coffee, and a bit of inspiration. There's always a little bit of clever wit. There's great descriptions. He takes us on a journey from beginning to end and total completion by the time he's done, no matter what type of a topic we give him. And this poem is obviously another multi-award-winning poem, and it's just it reminds me of the amazing poets that we hang out with around here, how often they show up and they have multiple awards on their poetry. Just so amazing. Phil's one of those. Great share.
Yes. And so we will continue on our lovely search here tonight. When I was just putting the bark. That's all right. I think it's sent me in the dark. I'm in the dark ages now.
That's a good song, by the way. Billy Squire.
Rainbow. Rainbow's in the dark.
Rainbow's in the dark. Let's go to Mr. Titus. Now we'll be Titus next. Oh, sorry, I'm driving here. Long day. I had to get up very early to take the pup to the happy place that he didn't want to go to. All right. There he goes. Titus.
True souls again. On the other side. Simplicity is what a little caring does to make light work of, to break free from love a minute, if to be with one another adoringly so. It will often glow intense whilst meeting again, to invent what new has happened since the last time it was you thought of her. She thought knowing you, what it drew together both, to endear on starting a newfound friendship. It is with ease and no worry how eager to persist friendship would a light be often. It is non-intrusive and yet intrusive of the type as closeness gets. There's a parallel unto which true likeness deepens. Only then did who brings up a certain other whose acquaintance bore a resemblance to the kind it was to mention, since nothing offensive reminds ourselves again. It's through comparison we seek something different, as again, if were it then the kind of man she'd like, what if it's friendship it feels very nice indeed to depend on, to remember what was not as good as was before. And with it, appreciation is thereof understood for kindness, which the space between each other, the table stood between the meal, ourselves when hands drew. Topic information, the coincidental matchmaking that it drew, time amalgamating instances of the past, create a surplus, again attachment. As many great investitures, I noticed how the other day she'd say how time flew. Needing you was unlike friendship, unbearable to part with, since how serious are we as a part of, to be a part unbearable, as if to hatch another delay there was. The need to be closer is erogenous, as effortless as nothing was to compare with. Was close to being free, and what we drew was something which was felt that night alone. Intentions of the slightest might be cared for, a little strong that we'd again detect as wanton from our souls, incorporating the friendship which love finds pleading, a misgiving fortune if not another. How close to kissing this will be to thwart the next time other than reluctance which knows willing. May the next time as was the last. I held you in the highest esteem as the friendship which contains delightful unknowing as allowing that it drew together our hopes strangely. In another world we do so again to haunt the past. It is without touch. Is a most beautiful being of remembered for being as dutiful to these souls as it drew replenish. Like how does one's friendship tend to try once again? Without this side of being with you, I forget we're on the other.
Well, once again, another deep and fascinating poem from Titus. I always have to reread it and kind of jump into it to make sure I give him the best comment I possibly can. Deb, your thoughts?
Well, first I want to say that there was something about the soft tw- twang and the background music that he used that added a dimension to it. And there was, like, start with the title, True Souls Again. There's something very tender about that. And you look at the photo, and it's just the two hands touching across the table. And the first line, simplicity is what a little caring does to make light work of break free from love a minute. A little glance or a little touch or maybe even a wink. There's just a softness to the relationship there, and it drew them together to endear starting a newfound friendship. And then with ease and no worry, the friendship persists. And you think about the stuff that he has shared over the years about his relationship. And like they've weathered a lot. Sometimes it's really, really, really hard for people who are apart to hold on to each other for so long. And they were in different parts of the world doing different things and got together. And the friendship lasted, and the admiration and stuff is just oozing off the page. And at the end there, remembered for being a dutiful to the soul as it drew replenished, like how does one friendship tend to try once again without this side of being with you? I forget we're on the other. It's just all the little nuances that he adds to it is like another tribute to a story. And this is an award winner as well, a gold winner.
Yeah, I see that. He's so amazing, and I really enjoy what he does. And I'm usually babbling, so I decided I'm not going to babble. I'm going to be more of a student and be much more gracious and helpful. And Hatter, would you like to make a comment?
Did you say Hatter?
I did.
He writes in such a way that, I mean, I got to go back and read it again, and I'm sure I'll have to read it a third time. Parallel universes are an extraordinary thought. Why am I in this one? You'd have to ask how many before me, how many behind me, and are you there? I mean, I've always said when I did this spirituality talks years ago, I always mentioned throughout time and space, eons of time in the expanse, we're here in such a short, minute piece of it, how special it is for two people to identify each other and to talk and share things. If you think about it, like we are doing here, it's a miracle in itself. The billions of years, as we know, years. It is a, like I said, you have to, when you accept it as a miracle of that two people at any given time are sharing their thoughts is quite remarkable. I said that pretty bad, but.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, everybody, say hello to Sky.
Hi.
Sky.
Hey, hello.
I know you're going to hit me and run, so throw it on the board and let's go.
I am, because the only reason why I'm still up is because my house puked Christmas and I can't go to bed like this. I can't do it. I just have a little bit of a brevity for you. Just a little bit of a brevity.
Okay. Do it on my board, baby girl.
All right, yeah. Preston Beach. I wasn't thinking what I was going to give you, so this is a new one. Crescent Beach by Sky Darkone. A stranger's sweet low tides of salt coat, water coves, On day stars, twilight, Sanskrit's our names. On the ocean front memory of Cape Elizabeth. Simple.
Gorgeous. Well, I'm going to be on Cape Elizabeth and put our names in the sand. That would be beautiful. Especially at low tide, sun setting, you know, the moon, tides, all that kind of stuff. Gorgeous, gorgeous gravity. It's just beautiful.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah. Reckon turn the comments so she can go to bed if you want to keep her up.
I mean, you know, I normally don't think of the beach when I think of Christmas, but, you know, when you talk about this, I don't know, it is something about it that's just very welcoming and inviting. It's beautiful.
I thought it was open. I thought it was open poetry.
It is open poetry. You started off saying your house is Christmas, so I had Christmas on the brain.
Oh. Okay. No, I decided that I wasn't going to put up the Christmas tree because I had to rearrange my whole house, but then I decided today that I was going to do that, and now I just have a mess.
I guess the beach definitely reminds me of a mess because of the sand getting everything, but you know,
that's
just me. I have a warped mind.
I want to be on the beach and have somebody else finish this house.
There you go.
There I go.
That's the way to do it. The only way to do it.
I can recommend a blind interior decorator.
Yeah. Just let it go. No one would care. And Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah, I had a friend once who told me that her mother really gets into Christmas, and on the way to traveling to spend Christmas with, she told me that have you ever seen someone or a house puke Christmas before? That's the first time I've heard that term. So I go, okay, all right. She's got a lot of stuff, okay. Oh my God, no. The term puking Christmas is there is no more room for anything else.
Hey, Scott, I just sent you a picture of my table that I just finished.
Oh, you know, I let me look at it. Oh, that's cute. Well, I like that. I have a studio, and all my Christmas stuff is in the closet, and so I had to pull it all out. So, of course, there's just bins and all this mayhem everywhere. Plus, I got a barista, and I rearranged my apartment. So it used to be cut in half because I have a studio, but with my bureaus and stuff, it looked like it, it didn't really look like two rooms, but it separated as if it were two rooms. Because my bureaus are so tall, but last year I opened it all up, and I put a wall TV on so I could watch TV from my couch or my bed. But when I had the room cut in half, I can't do that. So I'm like, I really shouldn't be moving my big tall bureau. So I was like, I'm not putting the Christmas up tree this year, no, because I'm not. There's no way I can rearrange the room to fit everything. But I figured it out, and it was a lot of moving. And I had to move the entire bookshelf, which is a lot.
So. But where did you hang the mistletoe?
There's no mistletoe. There's just a mess. It's getting to a point where I can go to bed now, and it's just a little bit messy. But I couldn't go to bed before, and so I'm up late. I haven't even eaten dinner. I'm on a mission.
Wow, that's late.
Anybody got a train that puffs smoke, goes running around the train?
Not in a tree, but my mother's husband, he died 2020. What are we in? Yeah, he died last year. And he had, before they got married, they got married when I was like 7. He had an entire room devoted to a train set.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a huge table. This was like a really long table that took up the entire room.
Yeah.
Like, you just had room to walk around the table, and it was all this entire train set with this town. Like, I don't know what he did with it when they got married, but I never saw it again after we moved. We moved together, but so we left his apartment. But, yeah, I don't know.
The Lionel train sets, they're very, people that are into that, there's a lot of money. They sink a lot of money into it, and they are sort of cool.
Yeah.
If you remember the Addams Family, Gomez Adam had a train room.
Yep.
Where he'd wreck the train.
Yeah.
The one that he wrecked.
Yep.
Well, I only have one room, and so there's not enough room for train sets because it's mostly taken over by books and paint.
My friend had done, you know, like Murphy bed. He had the panels that folded down with the train tracks on it so that when they all folded down, they connected, and they covered, like, the entire room. You had it, like, folded down and step back, folded down and step back. And his entire basement was that. You had to sit on the stairs to run the train, and it went, like, under the stairs and came up the other side of the basement.
This one was just a little circular that goes under the tree, around the tree, you know, and drops there and goes gives a little toot.
I've seen that. I went over someone's house last year, and they had that. I thought it was really cute, but I have little reindeer that I put around the tree like they're running. I have all the reindeer, and they have to go in a circle.
The tree, just run over the reindeer.
Yeah.
You strap the reindeer to the track.
Oh my god.
That'd be great. I'm a little sick.
I don't mean to yawn in your face.
I get the little kids reindeer pellets for Christmas.
Oh, that's
nice.
Awesome. That's nice. My brother did that one year with Easter eggs, and he took a visit to I'm losing my words because I'm getting tired. The kitty litter. He took a visit to the kitty litter box.
Oh, that's wrong.
He ate all of me and my other brother's candy eggs, and he put other stuff in it. He thought it was very funny.
Oh, no.
Oh.
This is, and then it was actually one of the first dates, like my mom, not one of the first dates that my mom had, actually, funny enough, the husband I was just talking about. It was one of the first time he was over, and he was he's very, very strict, and my mother's very wild. So my brother, the one who's around my age, he came up to, they were having like an Easter dinner together, like this, like nice little romantic thing, and it couldn't have been dinner. I don't know what happened, but they were having something. Maybe it was a lunch. But my brother came up and started yelling, "So and so put guts in my eggs!" And he's screaming and he's swearing. And he walked out of the house. And my mom thought he was never going to come back, but he did, I guess.
Wasn't that nice of him?
Yeah.
That's very nice of him. By the way, your kids need to be tamed. That would be great.
Well, I don't know. That's the same brother who put toothpaste in the Oreos. He ate all the middles of the Oreos, put toothpaste in them, and put them all back in the Oreo thing. I'm not
your
kidding you. He,
like,
was devoted. He was devoted. And he put marbles in my mother's jelly bean jar in the middle of the night. I don't know why my mother eats jelly beans in the middle of the night, but she cracked her tooth because she was eating a thing. Yeah. He was a wild one.
Wild.
It's a wild one. Like I'm telling you trauma stories.
It's two things in one.
No, he did. He was committed. He did the whole thing. He also did another thing that's totally inappropriate. Maybe I'll save it for Naughty Night, and I'll tell you that story. But it, I can't tell you.
That sounds like
but he thought it was really funny. My mom did not.
Well, I can't imagine why. All right, I got to get back to my poetry. I got people to read, people to do. So.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for taking all your time. Bye.
We can talk all night.
No. I'm getting overtired, so I'm getting chatty. I need to go clear off my bed and because it's covered, and then I'm just going to say whatever to the mess, which is very difficult to do, but I think I'm better. Right. Good night.
All right. Good
night, Sky.
Bye. Good night, Sky. All right. Who is up next? I love that poem, by the way. Who is here? We've got a couple of these back to back, so we will do Mr. Morris. This is Old Coat of Gray. There it goes here.
Cleaning out my closet, haven't worn it since I put away. Walked in the hall to hang my ragged old coat of gray. I see coming a new Model T, hear the gravel on the road, see him waving in the distance. When I wave back, he slowed. We said our hellos. He was driving around today. I showed him my log cabin. He saw my ragged old coat of gray. That coat looks pretty old, he said. It's faded and has a smell. Has stains, rips, and tears. Looks like it has a story to tell. Said, have a seat, sit a spell. This may take a while, okay? You want to know? I'll tell you about this ragged old coat of gray. You heard of the Confederacy? Our country was divided in two. Was talk of an invasion from the army that wore the blue. We rounded up all we could, marched all night in the red clay, earning our right to defend the South, earning this shiny new coat of gray. I was in all the great battles, private in the 53rd Georgia Regiment, living under an oilcloth tent, in the pure hell we all were sent. See that hole right there from the Battle of Shiloh Hill? Put your fingers through that cut, a Bowie knife from Chancellorsville. That writing on the collar, it's faded and hard to see. I saved his horse Trigger at Gettysburg, signed thank you from Robert E. Lee. Battle was in Atlanta. stains you see on this sleeve, burying my friends and brothers, horrors you wouldn't believe. Sometimes you have to fight, defend your land and place. Sacrifices must be made, to surrender surely a disgrace. Haven't worn this since the war. I'm glad you came by today, gave me a chance to wear again this ragged old coat of gray.
It's another lovely poem about what went on during those years. And, you know, him, a person defending on what he did to a young man. And just a very sad time, but I do love the way he tells the story of the Civil War and all of the great things that he talks about. Very well done, Mr. Moore. I truly do enjoy your poem to history. And I can tell you your thoughts.
Yeah, for some reason, when he first mentioned the gray coat, my mind went to the Confederacy and you know, the gray and the blue. And I was really glad when he got around to that, you know, sit down and he was going to tell the story, that that's exactly where he was going. I don't know why it had that feeling for me from the beginning, but it just kind of did. That's exactly where my mind went. So, you know, I guess that's a credit to the way he told the story to begin with. There was something, maybe the banjo in the background, I don't know. But, I mean, it was just, you know, a lovely tale that you know, takes me back to a time that I never I never experienced, but, you know, always, you know, respected. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, it makes you think of the country's history and the way that, you know, things are divided and the South and just the difference. It's almost like a different culture in a lot of ways, you know, the Southern genteel and the way that they act. And it's just, it wraps a lot of thought into it, into, you know, things that have nothing to do with the war really, but, you know, it was kind of what they were fighting for. So it does. I thought it was great.
Yeah, me too. Ann Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah, I was chatting away. I'm on mute.
Sorry.
Yeah, he's very, very committed to the Civil War, right? Yeah.
He's a Civil War historian.
Yeah, I'm sure he's part of the reenactments, maybe. The way it sounds, he goes into detail. That unless you participate in the reenactments and such, I don't think you'd be able to get the detail he has put into it. From the Battle of Shiloh Hill, put your fingers through that cut, a Bowie knife from Chancellorsville. She's got all the towns. I admire that. This is a good piece. Thank you for posting it. And he reads it well. That was very well read.
Yeah, it was. All right.
And he saved Robert E. Lee's horse.
All right. So I have one more. We will let Frank end out our show with his recording. And if we're ready for it, here we go.
Upon the cold and snowy day of December, I was thus visited by the strange spirit whose name to me was unknown and unclear. The sable shuttle, the serene presence of dark terror awakened, for he is the existing shade of the mysterious realm of the dead. Lurking in the ineffable places of incessant time and memories, his horrific breath is the howling wind of the echoes of the night, and his footsteps are the sounds of a creepy chain rattling in as he treads gradually upon the squeaking planks of the manor. He came to me like a restless reaper never seen before, the haunting herald of the presage that had awaited me, speaking in the daunting voice of the master of grim riddles, for the audacious words of his warning made my knees tremble. His piercing, hoary eyes stared at me as a fearless auteur, towering over me with his menacing stature in disguise, causing the shutters in my manor to flap along the creaking doors. As I stood before him at last, with a lone candle flickering, the anxiety had become an unstoppable episode of trepidation. The reverberations had consumed me more by every passing second. I could hear the peculiar noises of the doomed ones buried there, beneath the soil of the manor, forgotten by the pages of decades. The doors had creaked louder and louder as I heard the noise. Oh, the doors had creaked louder and louder as I heard the noise. Louder and louder, I say, louder and louder as I heard the noise. Suddenly, there was absolute darkness and silence around me. Until I heard his eldritch words.
That was a poem and a half. Thank you, Frank. Wow, that was definitely a spook. I'll tell you what. That was a spook of all spooks, Frank. That was quite, talk about gluttony and things that none of us should ever have. They were all listed in that poem, weren't they? Wow. I'm really kind of taken about that. Great read, great poem, great imagery, great lessons. Everything's in that one, all wrapped up into one. Way to go, Frank. McIntyre, your thoughts on that?
Oh, man. I mean, you know, he tells a story. What was it? Not Masterpiece Theater. I don't know. It reminds me of, you know, those shows. I guess I grew up in a different era than some people, but, you know, it was very well told and gripping.
That's a good word, gripping. I like that. That's a great, great adjective to use. Patty, did you get to hear the whole thing? I know you lost there for a while, but.
Yeah, what I did hear, you know, this is a perfect example of the next evolution of what we're going through. It started out with just keyboards and a screen, and that's how we communicated. Then it got this radio gig where we can share our voices and express ourselves a lot better. The next one is performances. We're gonna have,
you could live stream me.
Well, that's just enough to know where it's going. So we should embrace that and try to you accept the part that in the read. Like this one had more than one person, so the narrative changed. It's just the next thing to do, I think. This is a perfect example. Frank always does it well.
Absolutely.
In comment.
Well, I've got to thank, you know, Rack and Deb and Hatter and Ape and Wayne and all of you for joining me tonight live. And then I have to thank all my people that wrote for me tonight. R.S. Morrison, Wayne Jett, Poetic Picasso, again, Deb, Hatter, AP, Rack and Tor. Titus, Heavenly Angel, Phil the Poet, Naomi. I appreciate everybody being here. You guys have been awesome. You rock my world. And I could not do this without you. Thank you very much. And I hope everybody has a wonderful week. And I will see you next week for a sweet discussion. Have a great one, guys. Love you to bits. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Goodbye.